Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
48-17 was the final score on Monday night. Lions fall in their opener. Points. They are 0-1. The Jets are 1-0. Joining us now to talk about the game from ESPN. He's had quite a meteoric rise in his broadcasting career. Former Lion quarterback Dan Orlovsky, who joins us on the Troy Laser and Fab Hotline. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, Dan, it's been a rough morning so far, but you probably knew that, didn't you?
Yeah. I was gonna try and send you guys some donuts or something like that, but I didn't know if I had enough time.
Oh, yeah. They'd probably be picked off.
Well played.
What did you see? What do you see as a former player? What do you see as a former Lion from last night's game that maybe we don't see as fans?
All right. So, you know, first off, and I've been saying this, and I've been somewhat outspoken about it for the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. They look, in a way, flat and tired. And I've said that. I thought I saw that in the preseason, just lacking some juice, especially. You know, I Monday Night Football, it's the start of the season. I know the first play out of Quandre was ridiculous and the place went nuts. But juice is something that is like consistent. You know, juice is something that gets carried over time. It's not momentary. It's long term. And I don't see that. They just look a little flat and tired. Now, I'm not saying that is the case. It just looks like that from a person outside. And usually you can get a feeling from as a player, you can see that stuff. So that's one of the things that kind of, you know, stands out. I guess the second thing would be how surprised I am about how poorly they played up front as an offensive line. I mean, there's no more justification. There's no more excuses because on paper, the five guys across the board are good players. And they should be as one very, very, very good. And to play a team that the Jets don't have a dominant defensive line, to play a team and have your quarterback consistently hit that much, at some point, it's got to stop. At some point, and I feel like this is the theme every year, but it's got to stop. And that was my big takeaway, just performance-wise. I figured the defensive line was going to not really be impactful. But just the offensive line not being able to play as one right now is head-scratching to me.
Let me go back to your first point, and I don't want to put words into your mouth. Is that your thought that training camp was too hard, too punishing, too severe for this football team?
No, I mean, I don't know what training camp was like, to be honest with you. I wasn't there, and I didn't have any conversations with the guys going, hey, what was training camp like? You're also talking to a guy who believes in things that are difficult and believes in things that are hard. You can't blame it on, hey, things are hard, because the Patriots do it, from what we know, the Patriots do it harder than anybody. The Patriots are always in pads, and their practices are always as long as they're legally allowed. And so we can't blame it on that. If another team is shown it to be successful over time doing it that way. I also believe that it has to be hard, because winning in November and December is hard, and you've got to be tested like that. There could be a bunch of reasons why the team lacks juice. You know, part of lacking juice is, you know, lacking big time playmakers, big time talent on both sides of the ball. That could be part of it. Yes, they could be tired. There's so many different things of why. I have no idea what training camp is like, so I'm not blaming that. I'm just speaking as a player that was observing, or an ex-player that was observant, and going, this is Monday Night Football. The top should be coming off of people's heads, and it just didn't come across that way.
Now, it's no secret you're friendly with Matthew Stafford, your former teammate. Mm-hmm. You support him, and I think most people agree he's, you know, not a top five, but he's a very good quarterback. Last night, it wasn't just the offensive line, was it? He was horrific last night.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, he's one of my good friends. But I'm also a very honest person. If I was sitting, there talking to my wife about it last night, and she was like, "What would you say to him?" And I would sit there and I would be honest with them. That was uncharacteristic of Matthew last night. With Matthew's done a phenomenal job in the last 5 or 6 years of valuing the football and realizing how important it is. And I had never seen him, you know, just not play up to his standards. He'll be the first person to tell you that was not who he is and that's not who he's going to be going forward. Didn't see things well, didn't see coverage well. All right, so let's break down the interceptions, because other than that, threw the ball fantastic, beautiful accuracy. The first interception is a shot to Marvin down the sideline where they've got Marvin on a go route and the inside receiver on kind of like an 8 to 10-yard outbreaking route, and the cornerback is playing in between both of them. And as a quarterback, you try to get him, okay, are his eyes on me? Does he think I'm throwing this out route and trying to drive it? Can I get this whole shot behind him, something Matthew is renowned for? So that's what you're trying to do, and it's in a moment, it's a split-second decision. And probably the wrong decision, sure, but he's being aggressive. He's trusting his eyes. That's the decision that was made. It wasn't an egregious, god-awful choice. It was a good play by the corner, and ends up being a poor decision by Matthew. The second interception, that's the one that Tremaine gets that's fumbled. Matthew just doesn't see the defender play over the top. So, yes, I'm putting that one on Matthew. There's some collision by the receivers and DBs and whatnot, but I would expect, and I'm guarantee you Matthew would expect to go see that. Relatively basic stuff. Third one was the one that gets returned for the interception. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's a concept where the zone defender, in a way, fools Matthew, and then the pressure forces that decision too early. And, again, just a poor decision by him. For a guy that consistently has made really good decisions. So I understand the what was wrong with Matthew Stafford. And, oh, my gosh, you played so bad. I get that from so many people and fans. My social media has been littered with it. But Matthew Stafford's the least of your worries moving forward. The least of your worries moving forward. You know, if I was somebody and I played fantasy sports, I would take Matthew Stafford next week because I know what he's made of, and I know that he's going to come back throwing haymakers next week as well. So he didn't play well. He'll be the first to tell you, and he'll get it corrected.
We're talking to Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, former Lions quarterback. The headline on ESPN.com, Dan, Lions signals, or the Jets knew the Lions signals. We knew everything they were running. We knew his signals. Is this a story to worry about for Lions fans, or as Stoney kind of intimated earlier this morning, is this something that goes on all the time? There's so much on tape that defenses are able to identify play calls by the opposing offense.
Yeah, so a couple things with that. I'm sure part of it is true, no doubt. But that's the case for so many teams. Second of all, that's an easy fix. I mean, because, first of all, you have multiple signals per one play. It's not like you have one play and you only have one signal for it. Multiple signals. Second of all you need to do is utilize a dummy signal at some point. You can go, hey, I'm going to signal you this. Don't pay attention to it. I really mean this. And then the defense is going to get gashed. So you can't just bank on that stuff. Third of all, the Lions were at home. Very rarely do teams who play at the line of scrimmage use hand signals at home. You don't need to. It's not, you don't have to fight noise. Hand signals are for fighting noise when you can't hear people. So I didn't see a ton of hand signaling going on personally. Now it's television cameras and whatnot. I haven't had enough time to go back and replay the tape, but some of that may be true, no doubt. But it wasn't, there was plenty of plays where the Lions executed in their pass game as well. So the defensive line wasn't seeing hand signals. That's not what was allowing them to get their pass rush off so often. So I wouldn't harp on that too much.
Final thing. I know it's just one game, body language, whatever. There are people who believe from the preseason and now that maybe Matt Patricia's over his head. You can't make that analysis now, can you?
No. I mean, it's his first game ever being in that role. Never been in that role. And so it's just like, I'm sure anybody who starts a new role, their first time doing it actually doing it in the actual moment at some point is going to go, oh, I wish I can't believe I did that years removed, or I wish I would have done that differently. Whether it was me as a player, me on television, you guys doing radio, mm-hmm. I'm sure the first time that you pulled the trigger on it, you look back and go, huh, I can't believe that. And so I would imagine Matt Patricia's going to do a ton of self-scouting. Okay, where can I get better, handle my job better, do my job more efficiently? I'm not going to sit here and say he looks over his head. It's very much a growing process for him as well. And from everything you read about him, how intelligent he is, you would imagine that he's going to go back and fix some of the stuff or refine some of the stuff that he wants to do better for the team. But it's one game. It was as bad of a game as you can have, no doubt, from top to bottom. But the good thing is you got 5 days to regroup. I mean, you know, like that's the good thing is you got the best thing that happened for them last night is it was Monday Night Football, and you have to wait 5 days to go out and play again and kind of get that performance off the table, hopefully.
Dan, really appreciate the time this morning. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Orlovsky joining us here on the Troy Laser and Fab Hotline in the aftermath of a 48-17 opening night loss to the Jets. 97-1 the ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.